The others picked up their glasses. Jordan gestured Aditi to one of the armchairs and sat himself on the other one facing her. Brandon sat on the couch beside Elise. They each took long draughts of the liqueur.
Delicious, said Jordan.
Elise asked Aditi,
What is this called?
She stared blankly at Elise for a moment, then answered,
Grape liqueur, I believe.
Not much of a name, Brandon muttered. Practical, said Jordan. They sipped at the pleasant-tasting liqueur, making inconsequential conversation for several minutes. But suddenly Brandon burst out.
Speaking of things practical, Jordy, that was a nice bit of maneuvering you pulled this afternoon.
Maneuvering? Jordan felt puzzled, but he recognized the look on Brandon's face, the same pouty frown Brand put on whenever he felt he'd been outsmarted or outplayed.
Our little conference out on the grass, Brandon said. You took control of things. Very slick, big brother.
Don't be obtuse, Bran.
Don't call me names.
Jordan glanced at Aditi, who looked alarmed.
Elise said, Brandon, perhaps we should retire for the night.
But Brandon pointed an accusing finger at Jordan.
I was elected leader of the group. You resigned. You gave up your responsibilities, and I took them on.
I know, said Jordan. I had no intention.
You undercut me out there. You just sat there and took over the discussion and took charge. I'm supposed to be the leader, not you.
Then why didn't you lead? Jordan snapped.
How in hell can I when you snatch it all away from me? Before I can get a word in, you're monopolizing everything and giving orders.
Jordan stared at his brother. Can a few sips of alcohol break down his self-control so quickly, he wondered. Or is the drink just a convenient excuse for him to speak his mind? Bran, he said softly, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to usurp your position.
But you did it anyway.
Resentment smoldered in Brandon's eyes. Jordan's memory flashed back to other scenes, from childhood and their teen years, into adulthood, when Brandon flailed out in jealousy. That's why he went into science, to get away from me, to build a career for himself where he wouldn't have to compete with his older brother.
Bran, I said I'm sorry. What more can I do? You can stay the hell away from the rest of us. If you want to take their side, fine, go ahead. You can stay here when the rest of us leave if you want to. That'll be fine with me.
Aditi looked stricken, Jordan saw. But in the back of his mind he thought that staying here with Aditi would not be unpleasant. Silently he said to his brother, Go on back to Earth with your tail between your legs. Go on back and face the responsibility for saving the human race from annihilation.
Do you have the guts for that, Bran? Do you have the brains and the heart for it?
But aloud he said only, I think I've heard enough for one night, Bran. Rising to his feet, Jordan held his hand out for Aditi. She got up and stood beside him. Good night, Elise, Jordan said as politely as he could manage.
Good night, Bran.
He turned and walked hand in hand with Aditi into their bedroom. Once the door closed, Aditi said,
I had no idea he was so jealous of you.
Jordan shrugged. It's been going on for years. This is Bran's way of getting what he wants, accusing me of hurting him. With a sigh, he sat on the edge of the bed and began taking off his shoes. Aditi sat beside him.
What are you going to do?
Let him cool off, I suppose. Then he looked into her questioning eyes. But I can't just stand by and watch Bran and the others make a mess of things. There's too much at stake. She nodded, then asked,
Would you stay here when the others leave?
Yes, except...
Except that you want to help your people survive,
Aditi said very solemnly. And the others that Audrey spoke of. Aditi smiled at him.
You have a fine sense of responsibility.
Tell that to my little brother. Trust. Jordan was awakened by a soft, chiming musical tone. He struggled up to a sitting position. Aditi, curled beside him, opened her eyes.
Phone for you, she said. Dr. Thornberry.
How do you... Then Jordan remembered she had a communicator implanted in her brain. Can we make it audio only? She nodded, and Thornberry's voice said out of nowhere,
Top of the morning to you, Jordan. Do you want to have some breakfast before I march off to get me brain boosted?
Certainly, Jordan answered heartily. We'll see you in the dining hall in 20 minutes.
20 minutes, right.
The bedroom fell silent.
Is he gone? Jordan whispered.
Aditi giggled.
Yes, all gone.
20 minutes later, Jordan entered the dining hall, wearing a fresh pair of light blue slacks and an open-collared white shirt. Aditi had sent him on alone. She would meet him after breakfast in Audrey's office. Thornberry was already there, sitting at a table with Elise and Brandon. Breakfast was served buffet-style, so Jordan picked what looked like an omelet and a cup of strong black coffee analog. Sitting opposite his brother, Jordan turned to Thornberry and said,
"Ready for the experiment, Mitch?"
"As ready as I'll ever be," the roboticist answered with an uneasy smile.
Brandon looked up from his plate.
"Jordy, about last night, I'm sorry if I stepped on your toes, Brown. Elise told me I behaved like an ass."
"Not really."
"Really?" Elise said. "Anyway, I apologize. That drink hit me pretty hard, I guess."
"No need for an apology," Jordan said. "Brothers should be able to speak their minds to each other." Yet he was thinking in vino veritas. Thornberry's head was swiveling back and forth like a spectator at a tennis match, but he kept his silence. After breakfast, Brandon and Elise started out for the observatory, while Jordan led Thornberry to Audrey's office up on the top floor of the building. Aditi was there when they arrived.
"Have you had breakfast?" Jordan asked her by way of greeting.
"I had some fruit here with Audrey," she said.
Audrey said,
"Aditi will run the stimulation. It is her area of expertise."
"Brain stimulation?" Thornberry asked, surprised.
"Education," said Aditi. "My field is education."
Jordan said, "And you educate people through direct brain stimulation?"
"Yes," she said, "whenever possible."
Aditi led Jordan and Thornberry downstairs, leaving Audrey in his office. They entered a small room that looked more like an office than a neurological laboratory. There was a desk in one corner, a pair of comfortable-looking upholstered chairs, and a padded couch along the far wall.
"This is where the deed is done, is it?"
Thornberry asked, looking around the room for equipment.
Aditi nodded. "This is my office, and my schoolroom."
"Where's the equipment?" Jordan asked.
"In the walls, mostly," she replied. "Behind the ceiling panels, too."
She seemed perfectly relaxed, at ease in her own surroundings. Thornberry looked a little edgy.
"So what do I do?" he asked.
Gesturing to the couch, Aditi said,
"You lie down and relax while I set up the equipment."
As Jordan sat in one of the chairs, she went to her desk and pulled a lower drawer open. Thornberry stretched out on the couch, while Aditi took out what looked to Jordan like old-fashioned wireless earphones.
"What's that?" Thornberry asked.
"The transceivers," Aditi replied easily.
Walking to the couch, she explained,
"The first thing we must do is map your brain's neural activity."
She handed the earphones to Thornberry, who fumbled with them, trying to slip them on. Aditi explained,
"No, no, not in your ears. Press the pads against your temples."
Jordan saw the uneasy expression on Thornberry's face. He felt a little nervous himself. But the headphones stuck to Thornberry's temples with no trouble. Aditi seemed perfectly at home. She went back to her desk chair and played her fingers across the empty desktop. Jordan saw it was a digital display screen showing an image of a keyboard. The wall above the desk began to glow, and the image of a human brain took form. False-colored pale pink, deep lavender and pearl gray against the screen's bright blue background. Jordan could see sparkles of light flickering across the brain. Nerve impulses, he thought.
"Is that me?" Thornberry asked.
"That's your brain," Aditi said, without taking her eyes off the screen. "Impressive," she murmured.
"What happens now?"
"Once the mapping is finished,
you go to sleep," Aditi said, still with her back to Thornberry.
"I have to go to the bathroom," he said.
Jordan stifled a laugh.
Aditi said, "I'm sorry. I should have thought of that."
She tapped at her desktop and the wall screen went dark. Once Thornberry pulled off the headphones and hurried out of the office, Jordan said to Aditi,
"I had no idea you were so competent."
"I told you I was a teacher," she said.
"Yes, but you didn't tell me how you teach."
"Once Dr. Thornberry returns, I'll sedate him neurally and the downloading can begin. He'll be asleep and there won't be anything for you to do. You could leave and return in 3 hours."
Jordan thought it over for all of a second,